Thank you, Christine, for that reading. Do keep your Bible open at that page. We're going to look at Romans chapter 12 and look particularly at verses 1 and 2 this morning. So that's on page 1139 in the Church Bibles. And our subject today is worship, true worship. What does it mean to truly worship God? And what kind of worship is pleasing to him? That's our focus this morning. As usual, there's an outline on page 2 of the notice sheet, and I've got 4 headings to give you a structure for this message. As we begin, I invite you to turn to somebody sitting near you to discuss just for a minute or two what you think true worship is. What is true worship? If you prefer to just sit on your own and think about that, that's fine as well. But let's discuss together, and then I'll call us back in a minute or two. Okay, well, please draw those discussions to a close. And there wasn't the usual buzz of conversation when I ask a question like that. So maybe this is a challenging question, and I hope today's sermon will be helpful for you. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we come to you and pray that you would feed us and teach us. You would speak into our hearts and minds your word, and particularly you give us understanding of this subject of true worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And the first of my 4 headings for today is true worship is a response to God's mercy. Paul was writing to Christians who'd received God's mercy, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. Because of God's mercy, the Christians in Rome were to do something. They were to offer their bodies as a living sacrifice. Whatever true worship is, and we'll come onto this shortly, we need to recognize that it is a response to God's mercy. It's a response. And why am I stressing this? Because it's a human instinct to worship God in order to gain his mercy. Many people think like this. The biggest cliche is the idea that if I go to church, then God will accept me. Oh, I've done my bit. You know, that kind of attitude. The idea that God will accept us because of stuff we've done is so foundational to human thinking. And it does fit with life, doesn't it? Work hard, get good qualifications, get a good job, work hard, get promoted. But this is not what it's like with God. God is merciful in that he chooses people like us to be in relationship with him. He wants to know us. But why is this merciful, you may ask? It's because God is a mighty, holy, and pure God who made the whole universe. We, in contrast, are unholy people who break his law and dishonor him. Many of us will have denied his existence at some point in our lives, and maybe even hated him. Looking back, I see how much I dishonored God in my childhood before I came to hear the gospel of Christ and to repent and put my faith in him. I dishonored him so much, and I was oblivious to it. Our sinful nature means that we don't live in a way that pleases him. And chapter 2, verse 5 of Romans tells us that naturally we deserve God's judgment. Let me read it to you. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. We deserve God's right judgment because of the wrong things we do. Over the last few Sundays, we have been considering what it means to fear the Lord. And Romans chapter 2, verse 5 develops our understanding of why it is right that we should fear him. We should fear him because we deserve his righteous judgment. But God is merciful to us. God has made a way to deal with our sins. He did this by putting them onto Jesus when he hung on the cross. This is the mercy of God that Paul is writing about. Have you received this mercy from God? Have you put your faith in Jesus so that God can be merciful to you? If you haven't, I encourage you to do this as of first importance. Your eternal destiny rests upon it. So as we return to chapter 12, true worship is a response to this mercy. Let me read verse 1 again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So we don't worship God in order to earn his mercy and acceptance. No, we seek to please God in grateful response to his mercy. We need to get the cart and the horse the right way round. If you get it wrong, then your worship will not be true worship. We do not earn God's mercy by being morally in line with the Bible. No, because of God's mercy, we seek to honor God by living rightly. And this brings us to my second heading for today. True worship is offering all of yourself as a thank you gift to God. At the time when Paul wrote to the Roman Christians, the way to say thank you to God was to go to the temple and to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving on the altar. you would offer something that was of value to you, a grain offering, or an animal that belonged to you would be sacrificed. Surprisingly, Paul writes here that instead of offering that kind of gift to God, we should offer ourselves, our bodies to him as a sacrificial gift. Romans 12:1. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Now I want you to imagine in your mind for a moment a temple with a stone altar in it. And then imagine yourself climbing up onto the altar as a gift for God, a gift to be sacrificed. This is a strange and alien thought to us, because we no longer worship in a temple, we no longer have an altar, and we no longer offer animals as sacrifices. And the reason for this is because Jesus on the cross was the final, ultimate sacrifice. What Paul means is that we should give all of ourselves to God as a thank you gift. Give yourself to God, says Paul, not simply by coming to church on a Sunday, but give yourself to him at work on Monday morning, at school on Tuesday, at home on Wednesday evening. Think of yourself as a sacrifice, a living one, not a dead one on the altar, a holy sacrifice that is pleasing to God. This is God's will for your life. The Greek word somata, which is here translated as bodies, refers to the whole of our being. This includes our physical body, but it also refers to our mind, our personality, our emotions, and our spirit. We are to offer the whole of ourselves to God as a thank you gift, to say thank you for his mercy. Being a living sacrifice is your spiritual act of worship. This is what true worship is, nothing less than offering all that we are to God. True worship is a whole person thing, involving our mind, our heart, and our will. And it's very practical. It involves how we listen to God's word, and it involves how we love and care for our wife or husband. Worship is about how we treat our friends and the people in our workplace, how we do the washing up and the gardening. Most importantly, it involves our bodies. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. There's no division of the material and the spiritual in Christianity. What we do with our bodies is just as much part of true worship as what we think or feel. Some things fit with true worship, and other things don't. We cannot use our hands to steal or our eyes to desire things which don't belong to us and still worship God. It can be an act of worship to not damage our bodies by eating too much or too little. True worship requires that sex should be enjoyed in the context of one lifelong marriage with a member of the opposite sex. So true worship is about basic biblical morality. It's about the nitty-gritty of everyday life, not just what we do in a worship service on Sunday. For this reason, we need to be careful about applying the term worship to just one particular activity. Most commonly, people do this when they refer to singing during when we sing together as worship. Confining worship to a narrow activity can belittle the idea of a whole life of worship to God. Now, sung worship is an important part of being a living sacrifice, but it isn't all of it. Worship is certainly no less than what we do when we meet together on a Sunday, but it's also much more. Ben Miller told us last week that he is seeking God for what God wants him to do with his life, and this could be paid church work, or it could be working in computing, following on from his university degree. Now, you might think that the church work would be the worship option, and the computing would just be ordinary life. But Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, shows us that both are true worship options. They're true worship if done in the right way, and they're not true worship if they're done in the wrong way. And that goes for church work as well. So true worship is offering all of yourself as a thank you gift to God. Thirdly, true worship is a community activity. The NIV translation of this verse is slightly weak in the expression, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. In the original Greek, bodies is plural, but the living sacrifice is singular. In fact, in the 2011 update of the NIV, you've got the 1984 version there, this has been changed. So in the new version it reads, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, plural, as a living sacrifice, singular. Probably sounds a bit nitpicky, but let me try and explain why it matters. The image that Paul presents is of many individual bodies. Have a look around the room right now, us gathered together, making up one living sacrifice. So we could think of, you know, lots of many people, many living sacrifices, but it's many people, one living sacrifice. And this fits with verse 4, where Paul writes, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, those move into the body of Christ teaching that we looked at extensively this time last year. Many, that's us, form one body. We offer our many bodies as one living sacrifice. And this is important because the 1984 translation that you've got favours individualism, doesn't it? But this is a collective, corporate thing. I used to think of myself as a living sacrifice, seeking to honour God in the way that I live. And of course, that's not bad, is it? But in fact, I'm to be part of the same living sacrifice that you're called to be part of. We're in it together. God has designed the church to be a body, a living thank you gift. You may remember the body of Christ teaching shows us that we can't do it all by ourselves. We aren't meant to. As we heard in the reading, God gives one spiritual gift to one Christian and a different one to another. And together we form the whole. Another way of stating this is to say that there is no Lone Ranger Christianity in Romans chapter 12. So our response in this verse shouldn't be just to get ourselves sorted, but rather to consider together how we can worship God in this way as a community. True worship is a community activity, not just an individual activity. Please just have a little look around the room at some of the other people here today. We are to be a living sacrifice together, the body of Christ. Finally, my fourth point, true worship requires mind renewal. True worship requires mind renewal. Let's read verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mind renewal is needed. A transformation of our thinking is required. As we think, so we act. And there's always a battle going on for your mind. People do the things that they believe. Our actions follow out of what we believe. But there is a way of living which is true worship, and there is also a way that it's displeasing to him. And this battle for the mind is going on right at this moment in the Church of England with the bishop's pronouncement on same-sex relationships and the General Synod. It's a battle about what is right and what is wrong, what is pleasing to God,
What is his will?
And we have to say that the House of Bishops, tragically, has got really confused. So do be in prayer this week. It is a vital moment for the Church of England and also for the knock-on effect on the Anglican Communion and other denominations responding to the Church of England's the position it takes. Paul challenges us, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. And the pattern of the world has changed on sexual relationships over the last 50 years in the Western world. And now the church is being conformed to the pattern of the world on this matter, isn't it? J.B. Phillips translates it, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mould. When Paul speaks of the world, he isn't referring to the globe that we live on, but the present age in which we live. This world, this age, as opposed to the future age and the future world that are to come when Jesus returns. The present age as opposed to the perfect coming age. So society around us, the devil, our own sinful desires, they press in to shape us in particular ways against God's will and purpose. Paul's call is that we're no longer to be conformed in this way. But often we're so immersed in the culture of this age that we don't even notice that anything is wrong. We need to commit to a lifetime of mind renewal. It's part of our worship. This happens by God's Spirit in us, changing us through God's word. This is key to true worship. And this is why we listen to the Bible being explained on Sundays, why we study it in growth groups and at 421. And it's why I encourage you to seek to understand the Bible on your own, at home or when you're traveling. Lord, please renew our minds. Now, it is much easier to continue with the pattern of the world. Imagine for a moment that you are a jigsaw piece. Don't know what kind of imagination you have. Try and picture yourself in your mind's eye as a jigsaw piece. And imagine you're shuffling around, trying to find where you fit into the jigsaw of this present age. Looking for a space where your shape fits. Well, if you're conformed to the pattern of this world, you'll find your place. You'll fit snugly in. The jigsaw bits around you won't complain. But if you start to have your mind renewed by the word of God, you'll cease to be the same shape. And you won't fit into the pattern of this world. You won't fit anymore. And this will make things uncomfortable. You keep shuffling around. You can't find your place. Try and fit in. Doesn't quite work. A biblical mind most probably will make life more difficult in this present age. But the important thing is not comfort, but being a living sacrifice that pleases God. And the local church community is vital in being a place where we fit better when we are pleasing God. At All Saints, our values are being shaped by God's word, so that as a group of people, the pattern is being changed from that of this present age to the values of the coming age when Christ will rule. And as we spend time together, we'll be encouraging each other to be shaped in God's way. A mind that's being renewed enables us to know how God wants us to live. It shows us what pleases him, so that, end of verse 2, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the word of God shows us how to live, so that we can understand what God's will is. We will acknowledge the rightness of his plans and actions as he prepares to make a new heaven and a new earth. So we've got three tools for mind renewal, three tools for true worship. the Bible, prayer and praise, and church community. Read the Bible and hear it taught regularly to have your mind renewed. Be a Bible student. This is part of true worship. Pray for the Holy Spirit to renew your mind. Ask the Spirit to take what you've heard and to help you to put it into practice. This is part of true worship. And pursue Christian friendships where you talk about the things of God, that you might be able to encourage others towards mind renewal and be encouraged yourself. Well, let me summarize as I come to finish. True worship is a response to God's mercy. True worship is offering all of yourself as a thank you gift to God. True worship is a community activity. And true worship requires mind renewal. So let's take a moment now for you to quietly reflect on these verses and today's message, and then I'll lead us in a prayer together. Heavenly Father, in this moment we celebrate your mercy to us and say thank you. We are not worthy to be in your presence, but you have made a way through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you so much for that. We ask that you would help us as a church here in Fordham and Atash Green to live together in a way that pleases you as a living sacrifice, that we live according to your will, that we'd honour you and serve your purposes. So please renew our minds, Father, that we will be conformed to the pattern of your character and your plans. Please shape us, Lord, as is pleasing to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.